Well, good morning, friends, or should I say good early morning here in the Temple of Silence here in Finland. And I'd like to continue with Rays and the Initiations webinar commentary number 69. We're at page 570. Just a couple of important quotations. It's about the first initiation of humanity. It will take place in Bethlehem, symbolically understood, for Bethlehem is the house of bread, an occult term signifying the physical plane experience. Also, it will have much to do with the sharing of bread, the sharing of resources, up to a certain point in the human family, which is a necessity for that first initiation, as it is a necessity for the reappearance of the Christ. And the two of them are related. We remember when the Christ reappears, it will be the indication that humanity has indeed taken the first initiation. These great initiations implemented by ray energies must be registered in the physical brain and recorded by the waking consciousness of the initiate. And this must be the case in this amazing period, wherein for the first time since humanity appeared on Earth, 21 million years ago, there can take place a mass initiation. And another point, the individual initiate who takes this initiation is aware of great changes in his attitude to himself, to his fellow men, to circumstances, and to his interpretation of life events. And we certainly do need that in the human family at this point. Excuse me. The Christ consciousness will emerge in humanity. It is not so that all will take this first initiation, but enough to leaven the mass of humanity and make them far more receptive to the kinds of thoughts and energies which are associated with the hierarchy, with the fifth kingdom of nature, with the Christ. Okay, so now I think we can go on here. And as always, you know, I have to get one of my brackets. Otherwise, I have a problem distinguishing the beginning of what I begin to write. Okay, so this developing Christ consciousness in the masses of men will create necessarily a ferment in the daily life of people everywhere. You know, it is, it will not be, you know, it, whoa, that's not what we want, is it? That's one of those important little webinar notifications for our ask program. But here we go again, and hopefully we're correct. It will not be a peaceful time. Much change will be occurring. Excuse me. The life of the personality oriented hitherto to the attaining of material and purely selfish ends will be at war with the new and inner realization. And this, you know, this is not the case at the moment, but it is certainly the case with disciples at this time. The carnal man, to use the words of Paul, the initiate, this is the elemental man, the man whose vehicles are the lunar lords, will be battling the spiritual man, each seeking to achieve control. You know, so now, so many of us have lived or are living through this, but humanity as a whole has not. In the early stages after the birth and during the infancy of the Christ child, again speaking in symbols, the material aspect is triumphant in that battle, but at least there is a battle. Later, the Christ life triumphs. This you well know. Each initiation indicates a stage in the growth and development of this new factor, what should we call it? The Christ consciousness. Okay. And that's what I'm going to put in there. I think I already have it, but see Christ consciousness. Such an important energy. If I could spell it correctly. Okay, Christ consciousness. This is it. So, each initiation indicates a stage in the growth and development of this new factor, the Christ consciousness, in the human consciousness and expression. And this continues until the third initiation, when there emerges the full-grown man in Christ. Now, for those who are so eager to see themselves as having taken this initiation, this phrase sets the standard and shows that many who claim this initiation are not yet at the stage of the full-grown man in Christ. The initiate is then ready at the fifth initiation to register, realize, and record the long-awaited revelation of what again? Of the divine purpose of the planetary logos, and also the a truer idea of the nature of the way of higher evolution. Okay. And by the way, maybe I can memorize this time. I'm starting on 570. I always wonder where I am at that point when we complete a program. Okay. And this is the word nature. Right. Okay, that's not what we want. Maybe I shouldn't wake up so early. Okay. In connection with the individual and the first initiation, the seventh ray is always active, and the man is enabled consciously to register the fact of initiation, because either the brain or the mind, and frequently both, are controlled by the seventh ray. This is an amazing statement. Let's just say one need not remember the actual inner ceremony, but one registers that something very important has taken place. Now here, you know, this is one of those little tidbits of ray understanding which is likely to be overlooked. So I'm going to point it out again. Either the mind or brain, or frequently both at this initiation, either one may be controlled by the seventh ray. So what is this seventh ray mind, you know? The seventh ray brain is fairly common, and we are told that only disciples can have a variation in the usual ray assignment for the vehicles. So this is definitely a variation. Okay. And let's just say this ray formula is definitely a variation from the usual. And perhaps we will be in a position to assess that as more people taking the first initiation are made known to us. people passing through this experience have to be identified, and then, you know, the rays will be capable, the Tibetan tells us, I love those words, expert diagnosis. They will be capable of expert diagnosis. It's such a fifth ray approach, but we're not quite there yet, unless perhaps we are a member of the hierarchy, and then the vision of what the rays are in exactitude will be revealed. So anyway, both the mind or the brain, either one or both, may be controlled by the seventh ray. It is this fact which is of importance in connection with humanity, for it will enable mankind to pass through the door, admitting them to the first initiatory process. And so, as DK says, you know, this is a mass initiation, and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands will participate. He gives some figures in various places. It seems like a large number, but then when you think that there are, you know, billions of human beings, it is the cream of humanity that will pass through this initiation, but as I said, enough to uplift others. It will be apparent to you why the present period in which human beings in large groups can take the first initiation corresponds to a situation in which bread is the major interest of men everywhere. Well, in other words, how shall we live? How shall we survive? How shall we have the things which are necessary to life? How shall all human beings have the things necessary to sustain life on the physical plane? Okay. How shall I do this? Okay. That's it. It was done. Humanity will pass through this birth initiation. And this is all the disturbance prior to it, and manifests the Christ life on a large scale for the first time during a period of economic adjustment, of which the word bread is but a symbol. So, you know, the period of economic adjustment is coming and will be present when humanity passes through the so-called birth. Well, if you think about the seventh ray, it has so much to do with the, you know, as DK has called it, the things by which men live. It has to do with circulation. So does the third ray, but there's more precision in the seventh, and perhaps more correct allotment in detail of the things by which men live. This period started in the year 1825, and I think that was so here we have had a Shambhala impact, and also a period in which the benevolence of the second ray was coming to a climax. So it's the that date is significant in the second ray cycles. And will continue until the end of this century, you know, what can I say here? That's the 20th century, but let's just say that hopefully the urge to share the things by which men live will continue into the 21st century. This continuance is surely needed. The unfoldment of the Christ life as a result of the presence and activities of the second divine aspect of love will result in the ending of economic fear, you know, freedom from want, as one of the four freedoms expresses it. And the house of bread will become the house of plenty. And, you know, finally, men will have, well, I mean, you know, not just men, right? All human beings will have enough, both of financial resources, or by whatever the medium of exchange is, financial resources and time for their own cultivation, which will be created or made possible by the fifth ray. Bread as the symbol of material human need, being, you know, the staff of life, as we are told, will eventually be controlled by a vast group of initiates of the first initiation, by those whose lives are beginning to be controlled by the Christ consciousness, which is the consciousness, the Christ consciousness is the consciousness of responsibility and service. And we will be able to answer that question. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. So, and this group, these initiates, will be on the seventh ray in their soul. I think somewhere DK discusses that, whether it's immediately below or in one of the other books. Bread is the symbol of material human need, will eventually be controlled by a vast group of initiates. So, you know, they will have, let's say, this group will have financial acumen as well as compassion and understanding. Now, when we look at how the banks are run today and the financial institutions today, it's pretty much on the basis of selfish desire. This is not how it will be. These initiates exist in their thousands today. They will be present in their millions by the time the year 2025 arrives. So, you know, immediately ahead seems to be, now this is, you know, I'm making this commentary in 2017, but immediately ahead comes a period of initiatory intensity. Because millions, after all, millions, that's the word. And that is not just hundreds of thousands, that's even more. A small number, perhaps, when compared with the billions, but it is a significant number. Okay, millions. We're very close to 2025. This book was written, given in the 1940s, over a period of time to certain of DK's students. Here all these years have now passed, and we're just on the verge of the period which he is describing. So first degree initiates have been growing in their presence, and those with financial ability, practical financial abilities. All this reorientation and unfoldment will be the result of the activity of the seventh ray and of the impact of its radiation upon humanity. We can say, I think, the seventh ray radiation is now quite significant. There is a battle between the outgoing sixth and the incoming seventh, and we are all plunged into that battle, but the seventh ray is making strides and gaining ground. We find in the next paragraph an important statement. The seventh ray is par excellence the medium of relationship. Of course, there is the kind of relationship that comes through Mercury and Venus, but let's just say, let's put it like this. This is a vertical relationship relating spirit and matter. And when the seventh ray has done its work, the archetype in, well, what should we call it, heaven, has descended to earth. So it brings together the two fundamental aspects of spirit and matter. So there's always something that we human beings are striving for, always a higher energy or a higher design, and it is the seventh ray which helps to make that pattern in the heavens real on earth. I'll put that in the, pattern. The pattern in the heavens becomes real on earth. It relates soul and form. And so we see what a wonderful time this is for initiation, where humanity is concerned. It relates soul and personality. The form and the personality are, in a way, identical terms. So in general, it relates soul and form. It brings together that which has been severed by illusion. I'll put it this way. The seventh ray brings together again that which has been severed by illusion, i.e. by separative perception. Separative. And let's see. Separative perception. The first initiation, it makes the initiate aware of that relation. We might say, of the higher and the lower. So this ray will be applied in the processes of the fifth petal. And there I'm going to PTL. Right. Okay. In the processes of the fifth petal, during which processes the first initiation is taken. Because basically DK has said that when the fifth petal is completely unfolded, it is the sign that the first initiation has been taken. So this ray will be applied in that way. It makes the initiate aware of that relation of soul and form first, later of spirit and matter. It enables him to take advantage of this approaching duality. Let's just say the soul and the form approach each other, or soul and personality approach each other. And by the perfecting of that contact, to produce upon the physical plane the emergence into manifestation of the new man. Here we have Uranus on the seventh ray as the energy which introduces the new. And this reminds me of a statement that is made in esoteric healing. Let's see if I can find it. Oop, that was not correct. Different computers do different things. And either here or there. Okay, let's see. Either. Either here or there. And I think the word is new man. Here it is. And this is in this marvelous seventh ray technique for healing. Energy and force must meet each other, and thus the work is done. See, right there is the connection between the soul and personality. Color and sound in ordered sequence must meet and blend, and thus the work of magic can proceed. Substance and spirit, this is the dual approach, right, of matter and spirit. Substance and spirit must evoke each other, and passing through the center of the one who seeks to aid, produce the new and good. The healer, now, here comes to the point. The healer energizes thus with life, the failing life. And oftentimes, right before there's death, you know, there is an energizing of the form. The healer energizes thus with life, the failing life, driving it forth or anchoring it yet more deeply in the place of destiny. All seven must be used. And through the seven, there must pass the energies the need requires. And here we go, creating the new man who has forever been and will forever be, and either here or there. So this is archetypal man, we might say. And the new man has to be created in the realms below. The archetype has to descend. Now let's see. Is this going to give me a problem? Probably. Okay. Well, we'll let it spin for a while. But the idea is on page 712, you will find this story of how to create the new man either here or there. All right. Now, at the first initiation, through the stimulation brought about by seventh ray energy, the personality of the initiate and the hovering, overshadowing soul are consciously brought together. So what we're going to see, seventh ray is very important in the integration process. The initiate then knows that he is, for the first time, a soul-infused personality, at least, let us say, partially so. I wonder if any of us know that we are completely the soul-infused personality. Maybe we are not. Okay, we're going to close that program because it doesn't work at this time. I press too many buttons at the same time. So, although Uranus is the planet of simultaneity, Saturn is the pattern of sequence, or the planet of sequence, and both have to be respected. You can't press all the buttons at the same time. Okay, so all of us are soul-infused personalities to a degree, and there's sometimes when we really sense in us the presence of this overshadowing source of energy, an aspect of the solar angel, which we call the angel of the presence and which is deeply involved in the manifestation of our egoic lotus. His task is now to grow into, right here, you know, in the three lower worlds, into the likeness of that which he essentially is. So, let's say we become the archetype. We become the archetype. We become the soul, which we already are. This development is demonstrated at the third initiation, that of transfiguration. So at that initiation, we have become what we essentially are. So let everyone remember that as they estimate where they stand, spiritually considered, in the question of, you know, initiations, it's always probably wise to subtract one initiation from your estimate of where you stand. At least there's a tendency to. He says, in the neophyte, in the beginner, which we all are in a way, to overestimate himself and to be more, to be conceited in that way. And on a bad day, I've sometimes suggested that people would be more truthful if they subtracted two. But that's a little pessimistic. Okay. The major function of this seventh ray is to bring together the negative and positive aspects of the natural process. So we can see how much this ray will be involved in electrical phenomena. Okay, so I'm going to use that one too. And that's the plural of phenomenon. Phenomena. It's also noumena, and we are interested in them as well. They are the archetypes. So we can see how much this ray is involved in electrical phenomena. It consequently governs the sex relationship in all forms, not just the human. So, you know, this power which brings the poles together takes place in all kingdoms. It is the potency underlying the marriage relation. And hence, as the ray comes into manifestation in this world cycle, and, you know, here's the idea of a world cycle, meaning a processional age. This is a very protean term, world cycle. And here it means a what I've been calling a processional age. That's the amount of time in which the vernal equinox points towards a particular constellation or part of a constellation, a particular sign of the zodiac. The constellations are of differing sizes, so we can't just say that when the vernal equinox begins to point towards the end of one constellation and reaches the beginning of that same constellation, that 30 degrees will have elapsed. It is not so. But the sign which represents the constellation, constellations are of 30 degrees. So anyway, the marriage relation in all kingdoms, even the marriage of atoms and molecules, you know, in the mineral kingdom, is involved with this seventh ray. So we have the appearance thus of fundamental sex problems. This is in the human being. Okay. In the human being, license, we see that everywhere, disturbance in the marriage relation as perhaps more is expected of it than was intended, divorce and the setting in motion of those forces which will eventually produce a new attitude to sex and the establishing of those practices, attitudes, and moral perceptions which will govern the relationship between the sexes during the coming new age. So there is promise here, even though it is preceded by disturbance. Well, think of it. The reappearance of the Christ is full of promise, and yet the disturbances are unusually strong. produced by two first-rate planets, at least partially so, Vulcan and Pluto. Go to page 7071 in Esoteric Astrology for that description. Okay, so the problem of sex and the adjustment of that problem, because, let's put it like this. In adjusting the problem of sex under the seventh ray, let us remember that the ray is also called the ray of ritualistic decency. So that gives kind of a promise for the future regarding the proper and well-timed use of the sexual relationship. The first initiation is therefore closely related to this problem. Well, it's involved with the sacral center, right? The seventh ray governs the sacral center and the sublimation of its energies into the throat or into the higher creative center. The throat is considered to be the higher creative center, and, the Ajna center is involved also in that creativity. So there is a time, and I think we've discussed it, is a time when the throat center also is ruled by the seventh ray, just as the sacral center is now ruled by the seventh ray. This ray is therefore setting in motion a period of tremendous creative activity, So in the seventh ray age, a new renaissance will occur. And about that, the Tibetan has wonderful things to say. So the seventh ray is one of the practically artistic rays, along with the fourth ray. And a big fourth ray cycle is coming in 2025 from the angle, he tells us, of the monad. I mean, does that mean that people with that particular monad will be coming into incarnation? Perhaps it does mean that. And the seventh ray is growing stronger and stronger. So it will be, this coming age will be a practically artistic age, among other things, and we can expect the beauties, the glories, the tremendous transformational power of a new renaissance, which will make the products of the earlier renaissance appear, he tells us, like children's building blocks when compared to the great cathedrals. So a period of tremendous creativity, both on the material plane, through the stimulation of the sex life of all peoples. Sounds like a period of great reproductivity. And in the three worlds, through the stimulation brought about when the soul and form are consciously related. So we have here two kinds of creativity, which the seventh ray will impulse. Okay. Well, I think issues of procreation and the balancing according to the divine plan of procreative tendencies and eliminating fear from that relationship. So many people in the world procreate because that's their insurance in old age, that they will be taken care of by the family they have produced, and of course the various scriptures tell us to be fruitful and to multiply. It's a pretty much of a sacral center consciousness, but new forms of creativity are on the rise and will elevate humanity from the oftentimes slavery of a relentless procreation, let's just say, a relentless procreation in which the form aspect is given undue attention and not the cultivation of the inner individual, which could occur if there were fewer of the human forms or if the human forms were more responsibly placed in time. Then we would find out that in one life so much could be accomplished that would normally take many lives under the normal procreative tendencies to accomplish. All of this is bringing of order and rhythm and right timing into the life of humanity. The first major proof that humanity, through the medium of the majority of its advanced people, has undergone the first initiation will be the appearance of a cycle of entirely new creative art. So, you know, that's coming, and it's not far away. As time is measured by the masters, maybe even in the, well, I think, you know, maybe more likely the 22nd century. Some people have looked to the year 2025 as if, okay, this is the year that the Christ reappears, but there's so much that has to go on in the relationship between disciples and their environment and disciples and the masters and disciples and the masters in relation to their environment that we cannot expect the reappearance of the Christ imminently, immediately. You know, we're not going to go looking for him and shout, lo here, lo there, as we are advised not to do. So again, the first major proof that humanity, through the medium of the majority of its advanced people, and this is so important, these are the people who will take the first initiation. The majority of its advanced people, if they have not already taken it, that humanity has undergone the first initiation will be the appearance of a cycle of entirely new creative art. And we're certainly getting the technology that's going to allow us to do that. Already, I'm sure many of you, you know, have in your mind the contrast of the early animations or cartoons as they existed decades ago. And now I've seen things on television where it's hard to discriminate between reality and the animation. Even in the case of depicting mastodons and dinosaurs and things of ancient time as if they were alive now, the level of reality is astonishing. So this ability to produce lifelike images, moving images, and all of that supported by technology will certainly enhance the new creative art. This creative urge will take forms which will express the new incoming energies, you know, and right relations and right patterns, correct archetypal patterns will emerge. Just as the period governed by the sixth ray has culminated in a world wherein men work in great workshops and factories to produce the plethora of objects men deem needful for their happiness and well-being. It's also a mistaken use of the fifth ray, he tells us, as we tend to drown in overproduction of things, both necessary and unnecessary. So in the seventh ray cycle, we shall see men engaged on an even larger scale in the field of creative art. And this will be part of the cultivation of the inner human being, which arises because there is leisure to do so. Let's just say the fifth ray will produce the leisure for self cultivation. And thus the arts will flourish. This gives an example of how one ray will assist another. Devotion to objects will eventually be superseded by creation of that which will more truly express the real. And this is truly occult art. If you want to read in the about the methods for inducing soul control in Esoteric Psychology 2, the Urge to the Creative Life section tells us about meditation and art. And while everyone may experience it, it has a particular relation to the fourth ray, which will be so strong imminently. So the fourth and seventh ray are going to produce this final result, a great beauty by the end of the age. And interestingly enough, Venus, the goddess of beauty, will be the ruler of the last decanate of Aquarius, the last approximately 720 years. So, you know, devotion to objects is a kind of idolatry, you know, and it is not what will last. The creation of that which will more truly express the real, this is occult art. This is not personal, emotional art. It is derived from a higher source. Ugliness and materiality will give place to beauty and reality. What a promise, you know, because we have lived in a world in which the pursuit of many things has created ugliness in our environment, a defiling of the beauties of nature, and, you know, just a molestation of the beauties of the environment. This will have to be corrected in this age when the adjustment of the form will be powerful under the fourth and seventh rays. On a large scale, humanity has already been led from darkness to light, and the light of knowledge fills the land. So this is general education, ED, I guess we can put that in. And this is education, general education, and also and the initiatory process. In the period which lies ahead and under the influencing radiation of the seventh ray, humanity will be led from the unreal to the real. And so this has much to do with the overcoming of the distortions of glamour. And the seventh ray knows what is the proper form and what is the exaggerated or minimized and thus glamorous form. So all of this will be corrected as we understand more what is our archetypal plan and purpose. Okay. This, the first initiation, makes possible. Lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to light. That's the first one. It has to do with knowledge and maybe the outer plane to a degree, but also the mental plane. And lead us from the unreal to the real has to do with the astral plane and also with illusion on the mental plane, but the Buddhic energy clarifies what is real. And during this coming age, Buddhi will be powerful, the fourth ray will be powerful, the intuition will be cultivated, and we will be preparing for the intuitive age in which the sixth root race emerges. This, the first initiation, makes possible for the individual and will make possible for the mass of men. So we can expect at a certain point the clearing, well, let's call it by the proper word, dissipation of glamour, and the overcoming of some illusion, I would say. You know, in the archetype, there is no illusion. In the archetype, there is no glamour. There comes a time when human beings will stand with masked intent, we are told, and through the power of the light and of the spiritual will, they will dissipate the glamour. Seventh ray energy is the energy needed to bring order out of chaos and rhythm to displace disorder. Well, you know, chaos is arrhythmic. And when we think about the daily ritual of the Lord of the World, Sanat Kumara, it has this incredible, beautiful rhythm whereby the, or by means of which the higher energies break rhythmically on the shores of the three worlds. We are told that's that in relation to the seventh purpose of Sanat Kumara. It is this energy which will bring in the new world order for which all men wait and which many human beings resist at this time, fearing that they will lose some of the freedom which their elemental nature has to express itself in defiance of the divine plan. Well, they don't think that way, but they will lose their elemental freedom in a new world order. So there's much resistance against this idea. And also the fear of regimentation, which Aquarius can bring. It will restore the ancient landmarks. This is a Masonic term. And these are always found, found in the Masonic rituals. They cannot be changed because they represent invariant truths. Okay. These ancient landmarks represent invariant truths. Okay, so this energy will come in, restore the ancient landmarks, indicate the new institutions and forms of civilization and culture, which human progress demands, so new patterns again, and nurture the new life and new states of consciousness, which advanced humanity will increasingly register. So this is the benevolent benevolence of this, of the seventh ray in relation to the progress of humanity. Nothing can arrest this activity. He tells us it can be delayed, but not really stopped. All that is happening today is men search for new ways, you know, Uranian ways, seventh ray ways, for organized unity and peaceful security is being implemented through the incoming of the ray of order or ceremonial magic. So behind this search for organized unity and peaceful security stands the seventh ray. Stands behind these new ways. The white magic, I like how he puts this together, the white magic of right human relations cannot be stopped. This, of course, the Christ will emphasize, and Master DK is now emphasizing it. right, human relations as a major theme occurring in Shambhala. It must inevitably demonstrate effectively because the energy of this seventh ray is present and the Lord of the Ray is cooperating with the Lord of the World, all this taking place in Shambhala, to bring about the needed reforming. So there's a seventh ray word, right? So let us say that both reforming and transforming involve the energy of the seventh ray. Soul-infused personalities acting under this ray influence will create the new world. Notice how often the word new is used in relation to the seventh ray. Notice the frequent use of the word new. It's your Uranian seventh ray word. There is a conservative side to this ray, of course, but there is also that progressive Uranian side, and that's what he's talking about now. Express the new qualities and institute the new regimes and organized modes of creative activity, which will demonstrate the new livingness. The form will not be opaque and stifle the inner livingness, but will allow it to truly express, and the new techniques of living. This is, let's just say, this is very promising. And let's just say the promise of the future. It is the distortion of these seventh ray ideals and the prostitution of this incoming energy to serve the unenlightened and selfish ambitions of greedy men, which has produced those totalitarian systems which today so terribly imprison the free spirit of men. You know, I suppose he meant at this time the German state, German Nazi state, and at that time the dictatorial Soviet Union. And later came more in China and so forth. There is a quality of, let's call it, regimentation connected with this ray conformity, all the same, and the what they call in Australia the tall poppy syndrome. You know, do not excel, do not show yourself as excelling, show yourself to be the same as everybody else, and you won't get your head cut off. Well, anyway, this ray is going to make a tremendous difference in the quality of livingness through form. So this ray will promote a much higher quality of livingness through form than has hitherto been possible. Okay. Well, we're going to be affected by it, whatever our ray configuration may be. Not all of us will be upon the seventh ray in the soul or the monad, but all will be affected. So now we're, you know, coming to a summary, and I think it would be best with this summary to leave it to the next program. So let's do that, and we'll call this so far the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary, pages, this time I've got them, 70 to 573, and the day on which this is being done is the 17th of February 17, and we'll be beginning with Rays and Initiations. Okay, end of Rays Initiations. This is number 69. And we'll be commencing again Rays and Initiations Webinar Commentary number 70. And beginning on page 573. Well, you know, he's painting a a very beautiful picture of the initiation of humanity, the rising up of humanity through a new period of creativity, and the role that the seventh ray will produce, will contribute to that uprising into greater soul quality, the bringing together of heaven and earth, the bringing together of soul and personality with still more advanced individuals, the bringing together of the monad and the soul-infused personality. All this will be occurring. So we're going to begin with number 70 shortly. Now, again, as I say, not all that he wrote on initiation is found here. I'm going to go through the book in the proper manner, but later we'll assemble many other statements that he has written concerning the various initiations. Not everything of value that he has said is here represented, but a great deal is. So we'll see you a little later as we move on to number 70. Thank you for thinking along these lines with me as we try to bring clarity and understanding to what the great master has said about these matters. See you soon. Bye-bye.